반대함 시그루 스리타 파라카말람 시그룬 바이샤밤 스차 시루밤 사그르자탐 사하가나 라그나탄 비탐 탐 사지밤 사드웨이탐 사바두탐 프리치나 사히탐 크리슈나 체타니야 데밤 시라타 크리슈나 가나 말리타 시비샤칸 비탐 스차 हे कृष्ण करुण सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तत् कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभान सुते देवी प्रणमामि परि हरि प्रिये. We are discussing the glorious sayings of Srimati Radharani from the Ujjwal Nilamani. The list of 16 sayings is given there. And we thought we would go through them because Rupa Goswami gives examples of each one of them. And the Sataka in Raganuga Marg, he has rag. He develops the greed and interest and attraction to follow the eternal residence of Vrindavan, specifically the gopis and mandaris of Radharani, the Sakis. And he wants to follow their, he's attracted to their mood and their bhavas, their feelings, their speeches and conversations, their interactions with Krishna. These attract his mind. These fill him with happiness when he reads about them or hears about them. And then as he reads and hears about different individuals specifically, in the beginning he may read Krishna book and say 10th canto of Bhagavatam. He's reading about Krishna's Leelas and Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. So when he, especially if he's reading about Vrindavan, because Gaudiya Vaishnavism is all about Vrindavan. Aradhya Bhagavan Brajeshitaniya Sridham Vrindavanam. Advaitacharya's disciple Srinath Chakravarti was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and a disciple of Advaitacharya. He wrote this prayer to establish the actual Sambandha Videya and Prayojana of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. It's in Prabhupada's shloka book. Auradhya Bhagavan Brajeshitaniya Sridham Vrindavanam Ramya Upasanam Ramya Kachit Upasanam Rajabudhivir. Says the Ramya Upasana, the method of worship, the Abhideya, the sadhana, the practice, the way, the path to follow, the marg, the bhakti marg, the prema marg, is the way of the gopis. And Auradhya Bhagavan Brajeshitaniyas, the worshipful Lord, Auradhya Dev, the worshipful Lord of Gaudiya Vaishnavas, that's us, the followers of Lord Chaitanya and worshippers of Radha and Krishna. Our worshipful Ishtadev, our goal is Nanda Nandan Prem, Govinda Prem, Gopinath Prem, Krishna Prem, specifically the son of Brajendranandan, the son of Brajaraj Nandababa. This is the first line, Auradhya. So we honor, we respect, we hear about, we maybe worship Rukmini and Dwarkadish and Mathuradish and Mathuranath. But our goal is Vrindavan. Auradhya Bhagavan Brajeshitaniyas, Sridham Vrindavanam. So this is what Lord Chaitanya taught. And this, and if we're his followers and his students and his servants, then we will teach the same thing and follow the same thing. He said, this is the Sambandha. This is our Prayojana. Our Prayojana is Krishna Prem, Krishna Vrindavan. And our goal is Goloka Vrindavan, Brajagokul, Barsana Nandagram, Radhakund Vrindavan, not Dwarka, Mathura, Vaikuntha. Then how to get there? What is the path? What is the way? What is the method of worship? Do we follow the cowherd boys? Do we follow Mother Yashoda and Nanda? Do we follow the Patrak and Raktak and the house servants? Do we follow the nursemaids? Who do we follow to get to that goal of Vrindavan and to get to that goal, that Prayojana, that final point of Krishna Prem, to attain that goal of Krishna Prem, Krishna Vrindavan, the son of Nandmaraj? Whom do we follow? And what process of worship do we adopt? Ramya Kachit Upasana Rajabadubir. We do Upasana. There's Vishnu Upasana, Deva Upasana, Shiva Upasana, Durga Upasana, Pancha Upasana, Ganesh Upasana. Many times of Upasana. Upasana means to sit near the one you love, or to sit near the one you want to worship or love. Upa-asan. Upa means near, or by, or additional. So Vishnu Upasanam. You worship Vishnu, you go to Vaikuntha. So our Upasanam, to get to Vrindavan, the goal of Vrajadham, back home, back to Vrindavan, or to go to Vrindavan, then we have to follow the gopis. Ramya Kachet Upasana. Ramya Upasana. Ramya Upasana, the word Ramya means delightful, joyful, playful, blissful, intimate, conjugal, erotic, Madhurya Rati. This is what Ramya means in many ways. Ramya means Raman, means delightful, cheerful, joyful, intimate. Nijanga Seva, Ramya Upasana. And who are the expert, who are the exemplars, who are the gurus, who are the teachers of this method of Upasana, this method of worship? The Brajavadu. As I think there's some Kirtaniya band called the Brajavadus. I think you must have heard. Some group of ISKCON devotees, I think some young ladies, I guess, because Vadu means ladies. Brajavadu. Braj means Vrindavan, Braj. And Vadu means a newly married bride is called a Vadu. So our gurus are the gopis. Our method of worship is their method of worship. Tan, Man, Dan, Krishna Samarpan. Their bodies, their minds, their words, everything in the service of Krishna. So we should have the same dedication, the same focus, and the same goal. And then, what is the proof? What is your praman to establish this? You have this abhideya and this prayojana. In the first two lines, you're given the goal and the process. What is the sambandha? What is the pramanic evidence? What is the foundation to establish this method of worship and to follow this line of bhajan and bhakti marg to attain this goal of Vrajendranandan and Krishna and the mood of the gopis and the seva of the gopis? What is your praman? Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. Our sambandha, our whole philosophy, our whole sambandha and our prayojana, our abhideya, our process of sadhana, ramya upasana, worshipping in the mood of the gopis, is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, 10th canto, chapter 1 through 39. And then chapter 47, also mentioned, Brahma Gita is very significant. Revelation of Radharani's madness, Divyonmad in Mahabhav, the topmost gopi praying, gopi love. So this is a clear verse, and Prabhupada, you've seen his early writings in Radha Damodar in the 58 and 59 and 60, and his early Bhagavad Darshan Hindi magazines, and his Bhakti Gadas, he's writing articles of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he's mentioning this verse. This is the verse that describes the Krishna consciousness movement and anyone who's a Gaudiya Vaishnava. There's no question. This is it. This has been accepted everywhere across Gaudiya Vaishnavism as the sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana of Krishna consciousness, Radha Krishna consciousness. Does everyone know that verse? Yes, no? No, yes. It's in a shloka book, Prabhupada's shloka book. You've seen Prabhupada has a collection of verses. It's so beautiful because everything, as I mentioned, is there. The foundation, the sambandha, the relationship of us to God, the practice and the goal. It's clear. There's nothing about Sakya Bhav there. It's very clear. And this is, and then, oh, that's your idea, Swamiji. You're saying that's Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but Gaudiya Vaishnavism also includes this rati and that rati and so many ratis. And what's the last line of the verse? According to Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, disciple of Advaita Acharya, who personally danced with Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur, Navadvipa, and met with him. Is it Antaranga Nitya Siddha associate, Srinath Chakravarti? Srinath, not Vishwanath. And Vishnu is also not less. But he said, whose idea is this? Is this Swamiji's idea? No. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. The mati means the means the thought, the idea, the conception, the intelligence, M-A-T-I, mati. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu matamidam. So this is, it's final, this is it. Verdict, the case closed. But at least in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this is pretty conclusive. So now, that's therefore, the title of this course is The Glorious Sevas of Radharani. And as we mentioned, several wonderfully attractive and interestingly deep quotes from Prabhupada's books where he's talking about what does it mean to live in Vrindavan? This, I love this. We said this, this is the third time. In one purport of CC, Prabhupada's giving instruction, Upadesh, Prabhupada Vani, the guru, the founder, Acharya, and he's saying, one should practice living in Vrindavan by continually hearing the talks of the gopis with Krishna. Gopi katha, harikatam ritam tapta jivanam. That means Venogit and Gopi Gita and Raslila and the Antilila of CC and all the wonderful nectar of devotion, all the wonderful books that describe the conversations and talks of Krishna with the gopis. And many other passages which those that are regularly attending, they have heard. So this is from wonderful source, the source of all of our fortune, Srila Prabhupada. So now we have Ujjala Nilamani, which is specifically dedicated to the gopis. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Rupa Goswami Pad, he presents bhakti. He presents sadhana bhakti in the two divisions, Vaidhi and Raganuga, and then on to bhava bhakti and prema. Then he describes rasa, and he describes all the how one experiences rasa and what are the five aspects, the five elements or components that are required. These five bhavas mixed together, there's a hero and a heroine, and they have a natural inclination and love towards each other. That's their vibhav, or rather the stairati. And then certain things happen, and they're in certain places at certain times. There's a flute plays and the moon rises, and then their natural bonding and natural attraction and love, it wakens up even more. Just like a husband and wife, they're married, so they have conjugal love, madhurati. So they're going for a ride, and then they're coming home from somewhere in the evening time. And someone says, oh, let's take a ride by the beach along the road that goes along the, like in Jagannath Puri, there's the Marine Drive in Jagannath Puri. It's called Marine Drive. It's a long road that goes from Jagannath Puri to Chilka Lake, about 25 kilometers or so, right along the ocean. So by chance, just to make it a little transcendental, the husband and wife are driving down Marine Drive in Puri, and it happens to be the full moon night. So then the wife says, oh, let's stop the car. The moon is so beautiful. So now they get out of the car and they start walking along the sand. And they, oh, let's take our shoes off. So they take their shoes off. Now they're walking barefoot in the sand. So the sand is an udipan. The full moon is an udipan. A gentle breeze is blowing. A gentle southern breeze is blowing from the ocean, the Bay of Bengal. And the waves are crashing to make a very soothing sound. So these are called the environmental stimulants or the excitants that will. So they're just walking, and he says, oh, the moon looks so beautiful. She says, oh, the moon looks so beautiful. And then he says, oh, but it doesn't look as radiant and as beautiful as your face. And he says that, and she hears that, oh. And then she feels excited a little. Oh, God, he hasn't said anything like that in a long time. He's complimenting me. So then she slowly slides her hand into his. And now they're holding hands and they're walking. And then when they hold hands, then maybe the hairs on their body stand on end. That's called sattvic vikara. And one by one, there's the vibhav and the lambana and the premashraya and premvishaya. Then there's the udipan, the environment. There's the full moon, the sand, the bare feet. And then there's the touching, and then the, it goes on like this, and then there's subsequent bhavas, anubhavas, and then maybe, you know, like this. So this is how rasa develops. You mix these five things, the sancharis and the vibhavas, and then you experience love. Then it may culminate and a loving experience of meeting intimately together. So that's in Madhurya Rati, and then there's Vatsalya Rati, and all these different loving relationships. So the gopis, you know, we are hearing about the sevas of the gopis, and as we hear about them, as we read about the gopis in Vrindavan, one particular gopi may attract us very much. Not only her mood, her behavior, her relationship, but especially her seva. So we want to be attached. So the reason we hear these sevas, and we hear these special sevas, is to see which seva we may be attracted to. Oh, that's a very nice seva. In other words, if you go to college and they have different courses, and they say, and they're teaching courses which will prepare the students to land in a particular job, supply and demand. There's a demand in the marketplace for computer programmers and business people and all these different degrees one can get, journalism and writing. So people study, they get qualification, they go there. So, and they have some attraction, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this particular work. And then they learn. So the sadhaka in Ravanuga Marg, he hears about the services of the sakis, he becomes attracted to a particular sakhi and maybe her service. Then he thinks, oh, someday maybe I will render this service in my siddha sarup when I attain my perfection. And then he starts to see all the different passages where that service is rendered, and he thinks about that and meditates on that. Because we have this principle, even as sadhakas, oftentimes people ask a question. Oh, Swamiji, can we meditate on our service while chanting japa? Say my service is cooking for the deity. So I'm chanting my japa in the morning, my 16 rounds. And I'm meditating on the offering. I cook the lunch offering. So is that bad to do? Is it bad to meditate on the what kind of dal I'm going to make and what kind of sweets I'm going to make and what kind of pakora and what kind of chutney and what kind of puris and what kind of four Krishna Balaram, they eat four different kinds of sabjis every day. And then two kinds of savories and one dal and four sweets. And so you have to meditate on all these things. Is that all right to do? And what is the answer? What is the answer? No. That's not the answer. Prabhupada says in one letter when someone said, Prabhupada, when I'm chanting Hare Krishna, sometimes automatically my mind starts thinking of thinking and remembering pastimes of Radha and Krishna when I chant japa. Is that all right, Gurudev? And Prabhupada wrote back and said, yes, yes, you have understood. This is the goal, this is the goal, this is the goal of chanting, is to chant the holy name and remember Krishna's pastimes. It's there in the folio letters of Prabhupada. So the answer is that when we're chanting the holy name, it's a dhyanam. It's supposed to go from dhyanam, dharana. First it's pratyahara, then it's dharanam, then it's dhyanam, then it's dhruva anusmriti, then it's samadhi. Absorbed in the nam, rup, guna, and lila of Krishna. Not the book distribution seva, or the cooking seva, or the managerial seva. I have to sell this old junky car and buy a new car for Sankirtan. And all these meditations that can come in a temple president's brain or anyone's brain. So these are called vikshep. Vikshep means distractions from the essence. Because Krishna's name is Krishna's form. Krishna's name is Krishna's qualities. Krishna's name is Krishna's pastimes. So all of these things will manifest from the pure chanting. And all of these aspects of Krishna are meant to be incorporated in the practice of chanting before our chanting becomes pure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Harinam Chintamani, one should sit in front of the deities when he chants Hare Krishna and look at their beautiful divine forms at the Archamurti, the way they're dressed and their hair and their decorations, their eyes and ornaments and color of their garments and the way they're pinned up in chadars here and there. And then one should meditate on that form of the deity. This is instruction. So, similarly, And now we come to the level of Raghunuga sadhana. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're also, as Prabhupada said, we should try to remember smaranam, remember the Astakaliya Leela of Radha and Krishna, the eightfold pastimes that they have, Nishant Leela and Pratak Leela and Madhyan Leela, etc. And then we remember their pastimes, and then we think that we hanker and pray, and when will I get an opportunity to be there? And when will I render this service? And when will I render that service? So in that context, when one is firstly meditating on the leelas of Radha and Krishna, which is not easy, of course, but he's able to meditate on the leelas of Radha and Krishna, then he has Radha and Krishna in his meditation and the Astasakhi's mandris, the place, the time, the exchanges, the flow of the pastime, and then he introduces his own desirable identity as a mandri, Sakhi mandri. And then he introduces the seva that he will render in that particular time of pastimes and that particular circumstance with Radha and Krishna, especially based on the particular seva that he hankers to perform, that he likes. Just imagine. Krishna, Radharani appears to you. I want to take you to the spiritual world. I want you to be my maidservant. What service do you want to do to please me? I don't know, anything. I mean, clean the pots or cut the vegetables or, you know, drive the Sankirtan car or anything. Okay, I'll come back again. Because Radharani is very systematic. She's very organized. Not like us. And then she comes back again. Have you thought about it? Do you actually have rag? Do you have intense attraction to serve me like this? Rupa Mandri does this seva, and Rati Mandri does this seva, and Chitra does this, and Lita does that. Aren't you interested in any of these sevas? Well, no, you know, I'm just, you know, Krishna Dasan Odasan. I just want to serve, you know. Whatever you need me to do, I'll do. I'm like, I'm a jack of all trades. I'll do anything and everything. Okay, then Radharani said, you think about it, I'll come back again. So everywhere we're told, and even Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when he's describing the 15 verses about Raghunuga Bhakti, in the Sadhana Bhakti chapter, he's saying that one will read about a particular gopi in Krishna's Leela and their seva, and he will become attracted and develop attachment for that. That is a symptom of lobha, divine interest, divine attraction, divine necessity, greed, for the want of a better word. He really wants this. He really wants to love Krishna and serve Krishna like this devotee. He really wants to serve Krishna in this way. So if that's not there, well, I don't know what devotee I like, and I don't know what seva. I mean, Hare Krishna. Then keep chanting Hare Krishna. that you got the right answer, Hare Krishna. As he said, there's Vaidhi sadhana, and then when some special thing appears in the heart called rag, then it becomes Raghunuga sadhana, the daily practices based on your individual awakening of a specific attraction to love and serve Krishna in a particular way. Not very complicated. You're either there or you're not. You can't pretend, oh, everyone's into it, I want to get into it. But I'm not into it, because it's not really everyone's into it. It's rather rare, to tell you the truth. It's not so common. But it is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He came to teach this, and he wants, and then if one somehow by good association, by previous sanskaras, by intense practices and intense surrender, and by mercy from Guru and Vaishnavas and Holy Dham, all of that put together, his Purva sanskaras, his present-day practices, the good blessings of saints, the sincerity of his practice, it may produce an actual attraction for Krishna, a heartfelt attraction, a pushing, and deep hankering. I remember once I was in Prabhupada's rooms in Radhadamodar. I was living there and serving there per his instruction to his sannyasis. And then one godbrother came, this is 1990, and I said, and now it's 1990, and we both had been in the movement already now since about 16, 18 years. We had both been in the movement of Krishna consciousness. So I said, do you read Krishna book? He said, yes, I read, I like very much. I said, is there any particular leelas that you like more? I mean, there's Vrindavan Leela for 39 chapters, and then there's Mathura Leela, then Dwarka Leela. Do you like? What do you think of the Krishna book? Oh, it's wonderful. The Krishna's pastimes are so great, and I love them all. The way he kills the demons in Vrindavan with the coward boys and dancing in Rasa. It's all beautiful and attractive and wonderful. I said, that's nice. I said, any particular pastimes attract you more? Or, no, it's Krishna. I mean, it's Krishna book. It's all, I read it. I start on chapter 1 and I go to chapter 90, then I go again. I repeatedly read it and I find newer revelations and realizations. I like it so much. And I said, oh, that's nice. And he said, what do you think? I said, yeah, I agree with you. That's how I feel. So he left. Because it's not so good to disturb others sometimes. So then it's better to keep quiet. So we had a pleasant meeting and we were all godbrother friends. But after he left, I thought privately to myself, I thought he and I are, at least in this lifetime, are in the movement for 18 years together at that time. And he's a very good devotee, but he doesn't have any specific madness or specific attraction. It was clearly, he indicated to me. But I understood that my outlook was much different than that. So there's quite a lot of variety amongst devotees, let's put it that way. So now we'll start with the sevas, and I've organized them by, because seva means action, and action means, there's in English, there must be a verb. There's a noun or a pronoun, there's a doer, and then there's an action, and there's the acting verb, like I create. I walk, I talk, I sit, I eat. These are the verbs. Eat, sit, create, walk, talk. These are verbs, action. So the mandris, they're active, very active. For 22 hours a day, they're engaged in seva. If anyone likes to sit on an asana, they can come forward here, but somehow this is a dangerous area. No one wants to get anywhere near here. I mean, the ladies sit way in the back. The ladies can sit here. I mean, the line is just the camera line, you know. It's actually, it can have 3 or 4 men over here, 4 or 5 men here on a nice, soft Vrindavan grass and in the shade, and there's all sun and it's hot out there. And so many ladies can sit here. But if this was all Indians, it would be a different situation. But this is a rather first time in my preaching experience, I'm with Westerners, basically speaking. It's very different. Because Indians will sit right here and they say, move over the cameras. How much? And then they'll leave. If the camera needs this much space and that much space, they'll leave. You know? Occasionally they go like that and they get their head in the camera. But Westerners keep 10 feet this way, 10 feet that way. Don't get too close. I need my aura space. Don't sit on my aura. But Indians, they live in each other's aura space. You know, aura, A-U-R-A. You know. So now we'll begin. This is the sequence in a Sanskrit verse is a little different. But for memorization, or this is the way I've written about it. And I may share what I'm writing someday. But anyway, I'm organizing it like this and for presentation. Its essence will be there. We'll cite the different sevas that are mentioned by Rupa Goswami, the 16 sevas, and examples, the wonderful examples he gives. So the first, in terms of alphabet, the first seva of the Manjaris is to arrange the meeting of the divine couple. It means to bring Krishna to Radharani, or to bring Krishna to some other Sakhi, Lalita Vishaka, or to bring Radharani to Krishna, or to bring Lalita or Vishaka or some Yukteswari group leader to Krishna. This is the seva of the Sakhi Manjari. Sakhis, any Sakhi, and especially the Manjaris, they also do this. And there's examples here of arranging. We can see that. This is in verse 4. This is in the Sakhi Prakarana. Sakhi Prakarana, chapter 8 of Ujjwal Nilamani, verse 107. Arranging to meet. In technical terms, this means abhisar. Probably most of you by now have heard this term. Abhisar, it generally means love journey. It's sometimes translated as journey of love. One lover is running through the forest to meet another. Krishna or Radharani running through the forest. So this arrangement is called abhisar, bringing the Sakhi to Krishna. So, one second. Govinda, Radha. This example that Rupa Goswami is citing in Ujjwal Nilamani comes from Sri Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govind. It says, Sakhyabhisaranam yata Sri Gita Govinde. Twadvamena samam samagram aruna tigamsur astam gato. Govindasya mano ratena chasamam praptam tama sandratam kokanam karana swanena sadrishi dirgamad abhyartana tan mukte vifalam vilambanam aso ramyo. This word is there, ramyo. Ramyo abhisara shana. This is that one of the Ashtasakhis of Radharani, Sudevi, who has a twin sister named Rangadevi. Rangadevi and Sudevi are twin sisters. So even there's twins in the spiritual world, it's not only a phenomenon in the material world, twin sisters or twin brothers, like we have our twin brothers in Mayapur. Pankajangri and Jananivas, maybe they're Rangadevi and Sudevi. I'm only joking, but obviously they're not, but they're like that, and they're fully engaged in the service of Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakhis, so one can only wonder what their eternal identity is. So this is from Gita Govind, then Sudevi is speaking to Srimati Radhika. Oh, listen, Sakhi. The sun planet is very, very hot, and the heat of that sun is just like the heat of your anger. But the sun has completely set, and now deep darkness, similar to Krishna's desires, has spread everywhere. So this is, of course, the Udipan being described here to excite Radharani's love. Is the sun has set. Radharani's in Man, basically. She's in a contrary mood. This is the verses before this in Gita Govind. So we're just jumping in the middle here with this citation from Ujjwal Nilamani to simply show that this is the seva of the Sakhis or Manjaris, is to bring a Sakhi to Krishna, or to Krishna to Radharani, or to some other Sakhi. She's saying, listen, the sun is very hot, and you're very hot also. You're hot with, you're sulking, you're pouting, you're angry with Krishna. But the sun is set, so let your man set. Cool down, lady. Cool down. And now, after the sun sets, what comes? Darkness. everywhere is darkness. Darkness means Krishna, Shyam, Ghanashyam. So she's making very, very intelligently and cleverly, Sudevi is making this comparison of the natural phenomenon of sunset and the arrival of darkness with the setting of her anger and the arrival of Krishna to receive her love and give his love to her. So by her speaking, she's trying to incite attraction and trying to convince her to give up her man and come with me to Krishna. I will bring you to Krishna. Avisar. The sun, whose heat is similar to your anger, has completely set. So there's it's called Parokshavad. So if that's true, then why don't you Brishabhano Nandini? Because your name is Banu. Your name is Banu Nandini. Banu means sun. The word Banu, B-H-A-N-U, means son, and Nandini means daughter, daughter of Brishabhanu, Brishabhanu Maharaj. And she's Banu Nandini, or Brishabhanu Nandini. She worships the sun god, Surya Puja. She's a daughter of the sun. And there's a whole relationship between Radharani, the sun planet, Lita Madhav, and Satyabhama, and that whole Leela there in Rupa Goswami's Lita Madhav. Radharani offers her Shankachuta gem to the sun planet when she's inadvertently, she was offering tarpan to the Radharani's bathing in Yamuna, Lita Madhav, and she's offering tarpan, which one does. He should offer water to the sun. It's like rather odd because Kalindi, Yamuna, is the daughter of the sun. So you're offering the daughter back to the father, which is all right. But he's the one that offered the daughter to you. Because Suryadev, his progeny is Yamuna. His daughter is Yamuna, now you're offering. So Radharani was wanting to give up her own body, and so she was offering tarpan to Suryadev and Lalita Madhav. As I remember, it was about 15 years ago when I read it. And then as she was doing that, the Shankachuta gem that was around her neck was a necklace. And sometimes it's described by our Rasik Janas Raghunath Das Rupa that the Shankachuta money that was given to her by Krishna in two different hands after killing Shankachuta, and here in Lagamohan Kund, which is just out here at Radhakund, Lagamohan, Krishna met him at Ratnavedi and chased him and killed him in Lagamohan. Laga means to take away. Took away his crest jewel. Now it's all filled with dirt and chickpeas. It's every year. At any rate, so now the Acharyas say that Shankachuta money is tied as a jewel at the end of Radharani's baini. After they brush her hair and decorate her, sometimes they tie the Shankachuta jewel there. So at any rate, she's offering, and what happened is her necklace fell into her hands. It fell off her neck. The Shankachuta went into her hands, and she was at the same time she was offering water to the sun. So in her hands was Yamuna water and the Shankachuta gem. And then Suryadev took that gem. Suryadev took that gem because he offered. If you offer me something, I'll put it in my pocket. So Suryadev kept that gem. And what did he do? He gave it to a great devotee of his who he had a lot of affection for. His name was Satrajit. You've heard of Satrajit? And maybe you never read Dwarka Leela. You people are too much fixed in Vrindavan. But in a Krishna book, there's Dwarka Leela. And Dwarka Leela, there's someone named Satrajit. He was a great devotee of the sun god, Suryadev. Being pleased with and affectionate towards Satrajit, Suryadev gave him a reward. He gave him a gem, a very valuable jewel called, what's it called? Shamantaka. It's called Shamantaka jewel. You don't know? You don't know the Krishna book? Very embarrassing audience. You know? Yeah. The Shamantaka jewel. And this jewel is phenomenal, mystical, amazing, tantric powers that if you worship this jewel on an altar. Of course, Satrajit is a Kshatriya, so he hired Brahmins to do the puja because that's their business. Kshatriyas don't do puja, generally. So these Brahmins were doing puja, and every day that Shamantaka jewel was producing 100 kilos of gold. I would think all the ladies would know about that jewel, or want to. And so he was quite wealthy. So then, guess who his daughter is? Satyabhama. So the jewel went to the sun planet and then Ajua went to Satyajit, and then Radharani went to the sun planet, and Radharani became Satyabhava, and then she went to Satyajit. It's all there in Lalita Madhav, and most many things are there in Krishna book. So this is talking about Bhanu Nandini, the burning sun of her mind. So Sudevi is trying to convince her to come with her for Avisar. And the deep darkness, similar to Krishna's desires, has spread everywhere. Just see, the Chakravaka birds are crying in misery at night. Oh, charming girl. Oh, Radha. I repeatedly appeal to you, please, don't delay any more. If you delay any more, this beautiful, auspicious, dark night will pass. Now is the time for your delightful meeting. I told you, Ramya Upasana. Ramya means delightful. Now is the time for your Ramya Abhisar. Shana means now. Shana, right now. Now is the time. Let's go. Saki, jao. Jumuna jaonge. Ramya Abhisar. So this is an example of the Saki Seva of bringing Radharani to Krishna. Avisar Seva. So this is a beautiful example in Ujjal Nilamani, and that this itself gives vast information for meditation for one who's inclined in this mood of Ragmarg. Just chanting japa and meditating on this scene, and what would you say to Radharani to encourage her to meet Krishna? How would you induce her? And she's, and because this is from Gita Govinda, and there's particular acts or scenes or sequences. It's called act in the drama of Gita Govinda where Radharani's in Man. So this is the first one. Arrange for Krishna and Radharani to meet Krishna. Bring the divine couple together. The meeting of the divine couple. Now the second seva is to be a cheater. I don't mean the kind of cheaters that are in the material world. Men that cheat on women and women that cheat on men and students that cheat in their exams. But the same idea is there. There's a little cheating involved here. And this is a seva. I'm cheating for Krishna. But first get to the spiritual world and do this seva. Don't cheat here. It's called kapat. And kapat is one of the contaminations in bhakti, which I mentioned, kutinati and kapat. Kapat means cheating. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's talking about bhakti. And it says kutinati and kapat, cheating. But here, the second seva of the mandris is to cheat the husbands and superiors. So there's an example of that here. You can see that one. It's funny because many times in the past times, because one of the sevas of the mantris and sakis is to rebuke and chastise Krishna. So many times it's called a paradox. The same sakis and mantris, they tell Krishna, "You kapat, you cheat." Because he runs with Chandravali or some Vipaksha Sakhi, some rival or enemy of Radharani, Krishna's caught. Sometimes the Sakhi Mantri catches Krishna with Padma or Shaivya or Chandravali. Ha! You kapat, you cheat! And so she herself is a cheat. And she herself, even the Mantri, she does cheating to get Radha and Krishna together, or to herself to get out from her husband or from her household to go and do her seva for Radha Krishna. She has to cheat her superiors or relatives or elders, mother and father, if she's not married, or her mother-in-law and father-in-law if she's married. But then she's also, then some other circumstance, she's calling Krishna a kapat, you cheater. And everything's possible there. So this is called, this is verse 115, this is a seva of the mantris and sakis. This is called Patyade Parivanchana. This is a seva called Patiyade Parivanchana. And this is, Lalita Sakhi is speaking to Abhimanyu. Does everyone know who Abhimanyu is? Abhimanyu is Ayan Ghosh. In Bengali they say Ayan Ghosh. He is the so-called husband of Srimati Radharani. So now Lalita is a very expert speaker, and Abhimanyu is rather dull. He's a little dull, and he easily gets angry, and he's a little dull-witted. And Lita is so clever and so expert, she can tie him up in knots. So she says, Shamanga Paturesha Karmani Batur Gargasya Shishyamaya Radham Acharyatam Pragdinakaram Sadmanyayam Prapita Tinabira Payastvam Agamya Gam Dugdwa Patanga Priyam Pingakshim Arunam Aham Tu Karavan Yebi Saroje Srajam. Saroja. Saroj means fragrant red lotus is a Saroj. It's also a woman's name, Saroj. This is how Lalita speaks in order to fool and cheat Abhimanyu. And where is this being spoken? This is being spoken in Vrindavan, in Surya Mandir, in Suryakund, which is 7 kilometers northeast of Radhakund. And this is when Radharani went to do Surya Puja around this time of the afternoon, around 3 o'clock or so, 3 p.m., around this time, afternoon. And she couldn't find any Brahmin anywhere because she wasn't even looking. For 6 hours, she was with Krishna. In Madhyan Leela, she was with Krishna and Radhakund. And then she said, she got the news from Brindadevi and some parrots. Guess what? Abhimanyu, your husband, and your mother-in-law, Chatila, are fuming with anger over your tardiness in returning home, and are speedily proceeding to the Surya Mandir to see what is the problem and why you are late. As soon as Radharani and Krishna, the Gopi Sakhi Manjaris, hear this word, Jatila, they jump. Oh, their heart skips a beat, and they all just run out of there. And Krishna runs over here from Radhakundi, goes over there, the Kunjara. Kunjara is over there, 3 kilometers. 2 kilometers. He goes there and he meets with Brindadevi and Purnamasi. And then they disguise Krishna as a Brahmin. And then Radharani is in Suryakund. She rushes there quickly with her sakis. And then Chatila arrives there with Abhimanyu and says, why are you late? Oh, we couldn't find a Brahmin anywhere. All the Brahmins went to Mathura because there was a big bandura. There's a big bandara. There's also a big bandura. Big bandara. There's a big feeding, a big festival in Mathura, and there's some big sate, big millionaire went to Mathura, and he's giving 500 rupees to every panda, and a big, big chapan bhog feast. So every single Brahmin in Braj Mandal went to Mathura to have chapan bhog and get 500 rupees. Chaka chaka bhog. Ajke anandaki. So we couldn't find a... Oh, mother, we couldn't find a Brahmin anywhere. Oh, look, just see. Here comes Brindadevi. Here comes Brindadevi and Rupa Mandri. And there's Madhu Mangal. There's another Brahmin with him. Kind of dark complexion. Look, just see. And then they come and say, we found this Brahmin. And so now Lalita is speaking at that time, at that place, Lalita is speaking to Abhimanyu. This is an example of one of the Sakhi Sevas called cheating the husband, Pati Parivanchana. This is one of the services of the Sakis, to cheat the husbands and superiors. So Lalita said, Abhimanyu, see this dark complexion boy, Sham Anga Patur Esha Karmani Batur Gargasya Shishyo Maya. He's Gargamuni Shishya. Gargamuni. Then as soon as Abhimanyu hears the name, Gargamuni? Gargacharya? The Acharya for the Yadava dynasty? The Acharya for Vasudev, that great Garga Rishi? And this is his Shishya, his disciple? So that evoked a lot of respect and created a lot of reverence in the mind of Abhimanyu. And he's very, and then she said, he's very expert at performing rituals. Of course, Abhimanyu is interpreting the word ritual to mean pujas and yajnas, swaha, and surya puja. But what Lalita means by rituals is the kama yajna. The kama yajna is a sacrifice of Cupid. It's called the kam yajna. So rituals means yajnas and sacrifices, but Krishna is very expert at the sacrifice of Cupid. So she's really playing with Abhimanyu. And he's thinking, oh, this is a great Brahmin, highly trained and learned expert in rituals. What rituals? The rituals of erotic loving exchanges. That ritual. The Kama Sutra. And then he goes on to say, I have brought him so he may hear, so he may direct Radharani's worship of the sun god. Radham archayatam prage dinakaram. Oh, cowherd, oh Gopa. She says, oh Gopa, Abhimanyu. Listen, we need some samagri for the worship and puja. Samagri means ingredients. So listen, you go back to Yavat and you find a red cow. Because when you're worshipping Suryadev, everything should be red. Red asan, red cloth. You offer him apples and you offer him anar and you offer him kunkum and red incense. Everything should be red. And you grind chandan. There's two kinds of chandan, dark and light. You offer dark chandan, which is called red chandan, if you can find. And then if you're going to offer him some kheer, the kheer should be mixed with keshar, which is red, of saffron. And then that milk should come from a red cow. This is all part of the puja rituals of Surya Puja, which Lalita knows very well. And so she's telling, oh, Abhimanyu, you have to leave now, Suryakund, and you have to go back to Yavat and milk some red cow and bring that milk back here. Because this is very dear to the sun god. And then return. Meanwhile, I shall make a garland of these red Java flowers to offer to Suryadev, or some red roses. Red flowers are offered to Suryadev. Whereas in Krishna Puja, we offer all fragrant flowers, but that means principally white flowers, because white flowers, at least in India, are the most fragrant. Juhi, Mogra, Malati, these are probably the most fragrant flowers, and Champa, and they're all white. And it says that in Hari Bhakti Vilas, we should offer Krishna, especially, must be only fragrant flowers, and especially white ones, because these are the most fragrant. So this is an example of the seva of cheating the husbands. This was not a Garga Rishi Shishya, this dark complexion Brahmin boy. This is Krishna Shyamasundar, the illicit lover of his wife Radharani, standing in front of him in the disguise of a Brahmin. And she's saying, oh, she's lying. Lalita's lying. So he's a great Brahmin, he's a disciple, he knows all the rituals. And then she says, oh, go milk a cow and come back. So now he's out of the way. Now there's only Jatila, and then she's easy to fool. So son's a little more clever than his mother, Jatila. So now another service we have is number 3 in our alphabetical arrangement. is to console or pacify Radha Krishna with soothing, comforting words. So that example is here in the Sakhi Prakarana, chapter 8, and we can look at that. Consolation is called ashwasanam. Ashwasanam means to console, to pacify, to mollify, to make one peaceful and relaxed by your words, by your speech, by the news you give or the report you may bring. So this is Lalita. Because Radharani is very, very impatient. As I told you, this period of time, this Aparan Leela to Shayan Leela to Pratosh Leela is about 7 or 8 hours from 3:36 until 10 o'clock at night. This includes Aparana Leela, Shayan Leela, Pratosh Leela, and Astayam. It's the most painful time for Srimati Radhika. And any service that mandris render to Radharani at that time is the most appreciative and most dear and remembered seva. Service is judged by its necessity. The greater the need, the greater the appreciation, and the greater the value. That's how you judge. If I'm in a desert dying of water, and you bring me 10 liters of water, you save my life. So that's a vital, life-saving service you've done to me. So if I judge that service, I will consider the service that you rendered at that time to save my life is the greatest seva that anyone's ever done for me. That's the greatest service you can do for someone is to save their life. So this is called service is judged by its necessity. When a need is great and serve. So here, Radharani's need is for comfort. She's distressed, she's in anguish, she's burning in separation from Krishna, literally and figuratively. Her body is hot. Have you ever had a fever? You stick a little piece of glass in your mouth with some mercury in the middle of it, and it goes 102, 3, 4, 5, and your head's throbbing, and you're sweating. You have a fever, and you can die from a fever if it's not abated or controlled. It's unpleasant feeling. It's disturbing to have a fever. Imagine, and generally your head is hot, but your feet may not be that hot, but your head, your chest may be very hot. But in Radharani's case, from head to toe, she's burning and a fire separation, viraha agni. So she needs comfort. She needs to be cooled down. So they fan her with banana leaves dipped in water and lotus leaves, and they cover her body. Her whole body is covered with chandan mixed with kapoor. Kapoor is camphor. It's very cooling by itself. They mix sandalwood with camphor. It's so cooling. It's like ice on your body. And as soon as that camphor and that chandan sandalwood paste is put on Radharani's body, it immediately dries up into dust. Dries up like it was scorched by the suns of the desert. The sun in the desert will burn up any liquid or water in 1 second. That's so hot. So Radharani says to Lalita, she says, though 1,000 yugas have passed today, why hasn't the sun set? Because in some seasons of the year in Vrindavan, the sun sets at 7 o'clock or 7:15. And Radharani left Krishna at 3:36 in the afternoon. And she's 3 or 4 hours sitting in Yavat. And the sun is shining, or in Varsana. And the sun is burnt. She's burning inside with Radharani's burning inside with the fire of 1,000 suns of separation, viraha agni. And she's, why doesn't the sun set? Because when the sun sets, then the night comes. And then when the night comes, then soon it becomes pradosh. Then it becomes ratri. Ratri, then it's ratri lila. We say nisha lila, ratri lila. And then she'll meet Krishna in the deep dark of night. She'll run from her house at 10 o'clock, 10:30, on her abhisar. So she says this, and then Lalita says, oh, Bhanu Nandini, don't don't repeatedly become so fatigued and tired. The sun desires to move in a crooked way while setting in the west. See? Delighting your eyes and dispelling the darkness of the dust raised. Delighting your eyes and dispelling the darkness of the dust raised by the cows. The moon is now rising. So she's trying to say, listen, it's the day is over already. The cows have passed, Krishna, the cows have passed by Barsana, and the dust from their feet, the Goduli, is already settling in the atmosphere. And now the sun is already set, the moon is starting to rise, because for the moon is Radharani's best friend. The moon is her best friend. Of course, her favorite day, Radharani's favorite day of the month is when there's no moon, is on dark moon or Amavasya, because she can freely move to Krishna. But the moon means Krishna Chandra. The moon means Chandramukhi. The moon means Chandramukhi will meet with Krishna Chandra. Chandramukhi is Radha and Krishna Chandra is Shyam. So the full moon night of the Sharad Purnima, the Rasa dance, the Vasant Rasa dance, the Sharad Rasa dance, all the Rasa dances in the Purnima. So Radharani loves the full moon. The daytime, Krishna's with the Sakas. When the sun is shining, Krishna's with the Sakas. And when the moon is shining, Krishna's with the Sakis. So she naturally likes the moon so much. So Lalita knows that very well. So she's comforting Radharani, rendering a wonderful service of comforting Radharani by speaking in such a way, describing the situation, giving her news of Krishna, or giving her news of the environment in Braj, how things are flowing towards in a positive direction, and calming her. And this is a beautiful seva. And even here in this world, oftentimes our friend is distressed, our friend is upset because of some emotional disturbance or financial, so many reasons people get upset. And so we know that, so we call them, we may hear about it and say, hello, I heard you weren't feeling well, and anything I can do, is everything okay, and this, that. So this is human nature, it's exchange of love, to console, to comfort, to help. So as above, so below. So there, the Sakis are consoling Radharani. This is one of their sevas. So today we heard about how they arrange. They arrange for the divine couple to meet Abhisar, then they cheat the superiors and husbands so that Radharani and Krishna can meet freely and that they themselves can escape their houses and do their sevas to Radha and Krishna. And we heard how they console Radharani, or even Krishna. Sometimes he also gets distressed. And Radharani was consoling Krishna when she was disguised as Subalsaka. So this is three, and we'll discuss some more services in the upcoming days. Ujjalani Lamani Ki Jai. Our next class is Chaitanya Charitamrita.